Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think the Steelers are closer to being a great team or an average team? Don't give me the good BS, because if we put out a Twitter poll, what kind of team are the Steelers? Great, good, average. Everybody would answer good, and it would be the most, you know, redundant talk in circles conversation, because that would be the cop out. Mm-hmm. Are they closer to great or average? When you see that defensive performance, when you see their pass rush unleashed, when you see Jalen Ramsey look like the all-pro he was in both Jacksonville, L.A., a little bit in Miami, but he's coming off this hamstring injury, and he was this jack-of-all-trades player that Mike Tomlin labeled him as when they got him. He played safety. He played slot corner. He played outside corner. He rushed the passer and got home twice. He was everywhere, man. And he probably shouldn't have played.
Yes.
The offensive
line inspired people by coming out there and showing up for that game.
The offensive line beat their defensive line. The Steelers went over 100 yards rushing against the best run defense in the NFL.
They imposed their will physically.
Yeah.
They did.
DK Metcalf, another touchdown. Aaron Rodgers, another mistake-free game. Mike Tomlin, another well-coached game. Both in terms of his game plan going in and then what he did in game. So I would say they're closer to being great than average. We might have a great football team here. I think they're great.
I hate it when you ask these questions.
Why? Because it forces Malsy to be negative, and that's the role you hate to play,
no,
even though you were born to play it.
No, that's not the reason. The reason is because I think you ask them as if they sort of only occurred to you a little bit ago, but in reality, you've put an exceptional amount of thought into them. And then because you hide some of it, I am forced to try to do all the arithmetic on the spot here.
Why do you need math? Just go with the gutty.
I'm not doing, I mean arithmetic in like the figurative sense.
Oh, but what's your gut reaction to it?
My gut is that they're still closer to being an average team.
Why is that?
Because I don't still think that we've seen like truly explosive fireworks from this offense, other than against the Jets, who now look just truly woebegone.
Why? They held Sean Payton,
I know,
to 13 points yesterday.
It was a weird, I mean, they were still, the Steelers were under 300 yards of offense there. They've scored 17, 21, 24, and 23 in subsequent four games, and they've gone 3-1 in those games. What has me held up here is this. They beat the Patriots, who I think are starting to look like a pretty good football team, who have a win over the Bills.
So you've changed your mind on that game.
I have to, because I've watched the Patriots handle their business against Spencer Rattler, who actually is one of the more efficient quarterbacks in the league still, and beat a very good Bills team in a big high-profile matchup. They beat the Vikings, who I don't think are bad. I think the Vikings are flawed right now, but I don't think they're bad, and that's still a very good defense, and the Steelers jumped out.
And they're well-coached.
They are well-coached.
No doubt about that.
And Tomlin out-coached both of those guys.
Yep.
And then I think Schwartz is a pretty good defensive coordinator, and Tomlin and Arthur Smith, forget about what they did to Dylan Gabriel. Once they stopped Judkins, that was pretty much academic that they were going to whoop on
they
Dylan
stopped
Gabriel.
Judkins, but as it often happens against the Steelers, Stefanski also
sure,
stopped
did.
Judkins.
He
used to stop Chubb, and now he's stopping Judkins. The two-time coach of the year there, baby. Loves to
lifetime appointment. I
loves
think.
To put the stop sign up on his own best players.
When Sean
you
Judkins,
love to see it.
Had 23 carries for 110 against the Vikings, who have a worse run defense than the Steelers. Let's be fair.
Yeah,
But, I mean, here's why I'm torn on this, because I still think they have less of an, like, they don't have the explosive offense I would like to see out of what I would call a great team. Here's why I'm torn. They've beaten what I think is one pretty good to very good team. One good team in the Vikings. Patriots, I think, might be pretty good to very good. The Browns, I thought, were going to turn this into a rock fight because I foolishly didn't think Kevin Stefanski would have his head up his ass and not give Judkins the ball more. And I thought the Browns would just make it close. And for a while, it looked like they would. And then the Steelers did what good teams do, and that's this. When the Browns sloppily gave them second life by running into Waitman.
Yep.
They cashed it in.
Yep.
Put the game away.
Absolutely.
And then they put the game away again when the Browns only got a field goal to try to cut into it and didn't make it a one-score game. Here's DK Metcalf. Rodgers misses the one bad throw of the day where he like lollipops a ball up in the air when Metcalf's 5 yards clear. Doesn't matter. I know that was on the Hayward drive that he ended up throwing those, but given the second chance to hit Metcalf on a deeper ball, he puts it right on the money, and they handle their business. They don't look to me offensively like a really good team, like a great team, as you put it. But their resume early on here is starting to stack up. And you know what else kind of weirdly works in their favor here? The team they lost to, through, I would call, two fluky plays, your kick returner being back there and not knowing the rules.
Yep.
And one of your wide receivers running a bad route and paying like the heaviest price for it.
Uh-huh.
That team looks really good, the Seahawks.
You also didn't have Harmon for that game.
Which might have changed the calculus, and I don't think Kenneth Walker Jr. is running all over you on 3rd and 19. Listen, man, I'm going to stick to my guns and say they're a little closer to average because I don't know where their offensive line is yet, and I don't know how long these heavy sets can last forever, which they did again yesterday. I thought it was pretty much coaching masterclass, like all the way down from Tomlin. We're not going to let Myles Garrett beat us. He didn't. We're not going to let Dylan Gabriel get comfortable. He wasn't. I need to see them do a little more offensively through the air and by extension have their offensive line just look a little bit more, steady on its own merits instead of here's Spencer Anderson, here's Darnell Washington. But I knew this was, I knew I was going to be wrong and that you both were going to get the drop on me in PM team picks. After one play happened in this game, you want to know what that was? They send Darnell Washington out there in big, heavy package of football, like we're going to run the ball right at you. Play action, boot it, and you've got Darnell Washington running like Mr. Larson from Happy Gilmore up the field, Donnie, as they have just completely fooled the Browns, and there's this lumbering giant.
I love that play.
Pony, that was the play that automatically convinced me that they were just going to run circles around Stefanski. So I am going to stick to my guns and say average, but it's only because of a little
bit
of concern.
You've made all points for them being closer to great,
but
sticking with average.
Here's the other thing. I know they've beaten a team in the Patriots that I think is pretty good, and the Vikings are good. And the one really good team they've played beat them, but in an oddly fluky manner. But they have to play the meat of their schedule coming up.
Donnie, are the Steelers more like an average team or more like a great team?
I think they're closer to great.
So do I, man. I don't. Chris says like the offense is not, you know, a high-powered offense yet, but the offense isn't bad. They don't really have a weakness right now. Like if you were playing the Steelers on Thursday, if you were the Bengals, what would you look at and say, they're really crappy in this area, let's exploit them there? I don't think they have one.
My only thinking to attack their offense would be make sure that we lock down DK Metcalf because I don't really trust anybody else they have at receiver, and they will be required to use all four of their tight ends or something, but that's really it.
The weird thing is, though, Donnie, like that was the first thought that popped into my mind when Pony asked you the question. If it's that simple, why haven't other teams managed to do it? They're not targeting Metcalf like a ton, but he is, and he drops some passes too, which is bizarre.
But
they are remarkably efficient though. When they target him, it seems like his ass is open every time.
But that's because, and just being at the game and seeing it from a different perspective makes sense though. You can't really double a guy from the second the ball is snapped. Like, if DK Metcalf wants to run a quick out, how do you double team that?
You can't.
You really, I mean, you can have
a
guy in position to make a tackle.
That's not throwing the ball down the field. That's like, teams will trade that kind of stuff sometimes.
But he's such a good catch and run guy for his size that that's not like, you can't just concede that's going to be a 6 or 7 yard gain on the play because he's taken those plays, not specifically an out, but he's taken the short play 80 yards for a touchdown.
No, I know. Listen, I know George Pickens is a topic of conversation still for people because he balled out again, even though they lost in hilarious fashion against Carolina. I do think you're getting like you're getting the things that made Pickens made people want to give Pickens kind of extra grace here from Metcalf. You're getting a lot of the same attributes without any of the BS still. Like, it is remarkable that even though he is really their only proven wide receiver, that he's still getting the ball and making plays.
By the way, are we going to get any of the guys who called in Friday and said, I jinxed the Steelers. Steelers have no chance now. Shut up, pony. Don't make this prediction. And I said, I know what's going to happen, you cowards. The Steelers are going to win. And then Monday's going to come around. You're going to crawl back inside that cave, that hole that you live in. And we're not going to hear from you.
Do you remember who either of those guys were?
Oh, there were multiple. I mean,
I heard two.
He was a trending topic on Twitter where it said, like, fans have asked Andrew Filippone to take his tweet down saying that the Steelers would win easily.
And I heard even, there was even a guy from Greensburg, and then I forget who the other one was. But I know there were two while I was listening.
And even I can't. The Steelers-Browns is jinx-proof from me. That's how powerful the Steelers' reign of dominance is over them.
Do you want to know my honest take here?
Paul Skeens and Steelers-Browns are the two things I can't
my
F
God,
up.
You've really tried to jinx Skeens. I locked eyes with him and inspired
that
him.
That happened twice.
Mm-hmm. He got that hot dog roller, though, like me now. He's a follower on that front.
412-928-9370.
I'll leave people with this thought going into the break.
Why? We want to take a call on it quick. You want to just get a whet your appetite for how people are feeling?
I would like, yes.
Steelers after the win. Closer to great or average, here's Matt on the Fan. Hello, Matt.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think it's still average just because if you look at prior games, you know, the Seahawks ran all up and down the field on them.
But they didn't have Harmon then.
Yeah, well, it still leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And granted, it was like an early game. And then you had the Patriots, five turnovers, we only win by a touchdown. Right? And you have the just hear me out. Then you have the Vikings where you thought, okay, well, you know, commanding lead, and then all of a sudden – that's 24-21, and then we thump the Browns and everybody's riding high. I still see us losing 7 to 8 games.
If they lose 8 games, they're 4-1 right now. That would mean they have to play 5-7 the rest of the way.
And they get
they get
the Bengals with Flacco at least once, but almost certainly twice.
Right.
They get the Browns with it doesn't matter if, you know,
so after the Cincinnati game, that means you think if they win that against Flacco, they're going to go 4-7 the rest of the way.
Well, okay, hear me out. Packers, yep. Colts, Chargers, Bears with Williams, they could actually light it up if they play well, right? Bills and Lions. I mean, those teams are really good.
If I were going to play devil's advocate, hold on. If I were going to play devil's advocate about the Packers, they didn't exactly put away the Bengals with Joe Flacco having like 3 days.
And they lost to the Browns, and the game's here.
Like, I get it,
man. They lost to Cleveland, Matt.
Matt, I get it that in this town we care about the Steelers, and so we are going to hyper-analyze everything they do, but I try to make sure I watch every other team as much as possible because sometimes you have to acknowledge, like, the Packers played like ass against the Browns and lost. They hardly put away Joe Flacco yesterday. They're not infallible. And they tied the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Who just lost to the Panthers.
And the game's here. And if there's one game Aaron Rodgers wants to win more than any game other than the Super Bowl this year, it's that one.
Oh, like did he say the Chargers in that one yet?
He did. They needed a miracle to beat the Dolphins yesterday.
Yeah. Like, they had to do all that. Even the Colts, who I think have a head coach who, like, clearly has shown a knack for out-scheming Mike. Even the Colts is here, which I think is a different ball of wax than going there and playing them.
This is all something else I think it's worthy to bring up all of the other teams in the AFC, because there's really nobody that looks dominant. The Chiefs did look great last night, and I think that everybody else
I'm
is fearing.
I'm happy you said that, because to me, the definition of great changes every year.
Based on what the other teams look
right,
like.
Right, okay? So to be a great NFL team this year in the AFC, like, great to me is you're in the top 4 out of 16 teams. You're in the upper quarter. The Steelers are one of those teams right now. Would you anybody argue with me on that? You've got the Colts. You've got the Chiefs.
The Bills are still
You've
there.
Got the Bills. And you've got the Steelers. Who's better?
I mean, if we're playing the round robin game, the Steelers have beaten the Patriots, who've beaten the Bills. I can't put the Steelers down, you know,
you can't put them below the Patriots.
They're 3-0 against AFC competition.
You can't put them below the Broncos or Chargers. You can't put them below the Jaguars after yesterday. You can't put them below the Texans or the Ravens or any of those teams.
We're also asking, I think people can answer this two different ways, what they are right now and what people project them to be. I would project the Kansas City Chiefs at 3-3 to win the Super Bowl.
I just said I still think Kansas City's better than them.
I think
Buffalo's
better.
Even though the record's
better.
Not as good. It's fine.
I think Buffalo's better.
But you can, those two teams can be great, and you can be great too.
I'm going to make an admission coming up after the break about this team.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.